The plot line has had more twists and turns than Hamlet, but Act One, at least, of the Atlantic Yards development wraps tonight when the Barclays Center opens with the first of a series of sold-out Jay-Z concerts. The Brooklyn Arena is the first deliverable of the planned $4.9 billion project that's supposed to eventually have 17 structures in all. WNYC's Janet Babin reports on whether the development is benefiting the surrounding community the way supporters said it would.
The Atlantic Yards project received upwards of $300 million in public funds and subsidies from the state and the city. And developer Forest City Ratner and its CEO Bruce Ratner made a lot of promises, most significantly, jobs. As far back as 2004, Mayor Bloomberg touted the project as a job maker.
It will create 10,000 new jobs during construction and thousands of new jobs to run the facility, to occupy the office space and work in the stores and restaurants.
Still, neighborhood opposition swelled. Land for the 22-acre project was taken by eminent domain. A lot of people had to move out of their homes. Fears about trash, crowds, parking, noise, and pollution surged. Public meetings like this one became typical.
Let's let Farsi Ratner's team answer the question.
And then the financial crisis happened. At a rally in the summer of 2008, sponsored by Forest City Ratner, you didn't have to ask Sylvia Silva for support twice. Her son-in-law is a union carpenter in Brooklyn.
At this point in time, with everything going kafooey and, you know, people losing their homes, there's a lot of foreclosures right now, a lot of people losing their jobs. I think we need this for the economy.
So far, about 2,000 people have been hired to work at the arena. As of last month, 1,357 construction workers were employed on site. That's short of the number of jobs that were first promised, in part because the project is far from finished. Originally, five office and residential buildings were supposed to open within 15 months of the arena's opening. As of now, the company says it will break ground on the first residential tower by the end of the year. Ashley Cotton is VP for External Affairs at Forest City Ratner. She says more jobs are coming.
Every day we are calling more people and bringing them on board.
Some of the Brooklynites who hope to work on the project are now suing a community group that ran a jobs training program that was funded in part by Forest City Ratner. Kathleen Noriega is an electrician. She enrolled in the training program, hoping to get a union card and a job constructing the arena, but it never materialized. Noriega says the training involved working for free at another site.
When I was in the apprenticeship class, we were there for 15 weeks without pay. No stipend, nothing.
Forest City says it can't comment on the litigation. Candace Carpenter, an attorney for an opposition group called Develop Don't Destroy Brooklyn, says the developer has broken many promises along the way.
They said whatever they had to say to get the money and the land. And now that they have it, they will only do it if it's financially feasible and advantageous for them. They're not going to do it because they made a promise because there's nobody to hold them to their promises.
A 73-page document called a Community Benefits Agreement, or CBA, was supposed to ensure Forest City Ratner kept some of the promises it made with the community groups. Among other things, the document dictated that the developer was supposed to hire an independent compliance monitor to ensure the agreement was followed. But 7 years later, the job is still unfilled. Again, here's Ashley Cotton with Forest City Ratner.
Since the CBA was written... there has been attempts to get the compliance monitor going. We are now in active discussions with the CBA to get that compliance monitor on board.
Community organizer Bertha Lewis was one of the forces behind the CBA. Lewis represented the housing advocacy group ACORN, the Association for Community Organizations for Reform. She fought Forest City Ratner CEO Bruce Ratner for an unprecedented level of affordable housing in Atlantic Yards buildings, and she won.
We met for weeks. Weeks! He'd never done anything like this before either. And just constantly hammering out. And in the end, they realized that it was the affordable housing piece that made the whole project
50% of the units in the completed projects are supposed to go to low to middle income residents. Lewis believes Ratner will stick to his word on that. She says opposition to the plan comes primarily from Brooklyn's white newcomers.
What I call the gentrifiers. folks who were not there when Brooklyn was not the place to be. Some parts were abandoned by the previous white generations. And so race is a factor.
In the proverbial shadow of the arena's rusty facade sits the Wyckoff Gardens public housing apartments. Here, I meet up with a group of teenage boys who are excited about the Atlantic Yards project for a whole other reason, basketball. They can't wait for the Brooklyn Nets opening night, November 1st. I hand one of them, 14-year-old Nazir Ali, my microphone.
Nazir Ali.
What do you think about it?
I think that it's going to be great because we finally got a stadium next to us where we could just go over there.
Nazir wants a job interviewing Nets basketball players. 26-year-old Corey Brackett had a shot at one of the positions. Forest City says it received 32,000 applications.
They thought that my qualifications was good, so they also offered me the job after the second interview.
2 weeks later, Brackett told me he was turned down. He says he failed to pass the background check. For WNYC, I'm Janet Babin.